Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that found that as the body fatigues, there may be apparent compensatory strategies employed. However, lower extremity biomechanics deteriorate as fatigue becomes greater. These changes may have implications for implementing injury prevention programs. Lower extremity injuries tend to occur later in games or practices when athletes may be fatigued. Hence, fatigue may increase susceptibility to lower extremity injuries. However, there is only limited evidence that fatigue influences lower extremity biomechanics. Therefore, the purpose of this study was to evaluate fatigue severities during a functional task. 18 NCAA Division I female soccer players participated in motion analysis on a sidestep cutting task and performed a functional agility fatigue protocol, which included vertical jumps, step-ups, and step-downs, and other activities. The authors assessed biomechanics pre-fatigue protocol, as well as at 50% and 100% fatigue, which was defined by the inability to reach 90% vertical jump height during multiple sets or an exertional heart rate plateau within 90% estimated maximum heart rate for 3 consecutive fatigue sets. At 50% fatigue, the soccer players used more knee flexion during landing, but at initial contact, they used less hip abduction, knee adduction moment, and hip adduction moment. When the soccer players reached 100% fatigue, they continued to use less hip abduction at initial contact, less knee adduction moment at initial contact, and less hip adduction moment at initial contact. But now, they were also using less hip flexion and knee adduction moment during landing. Interestingly, knee flexion decreased during initial contact and landing, even though at 50% fatigue, the athletes were using more knee flexion during landing. Clinicians should understand that fatigue affects lower extremity biomechanics. Therefore, injury prevention and rehabilitation programs should take this into consideration. Interestingly, the soccer players may have adopted a compensatory strategy at 50% fatigue, such as increased knee flexion angles during landing. This may be due to familiarity to the functional task. However, as fatigue became more severe, the compensatory movements were abandoned for movements that may increase the risk of injury, such as less hip and knee flexion and knee adduction. This may point to a window of vulnerability. Apparently, these athletes can develop safe coping strategies up to a certain point, but they eventually will fail as fatigue gets worse. This hypothesis may suggest that injury prevention, strength conditioning, and rehabilitation programs could help train movement strategies, but that we cannot ignore the importance of endurance in delaying maximum fatigue. Furthermore, our programs could include training during fatigued states. It will be interesting to see clinical trials testing whether these programs delay maximum fatigue or influence lower extremity movement strategies during fatigue states. In the meantime, we need to be cognizant of the obvious influence fatigue may have on movement strategies. This past week, we also had 2 other posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post reported that in the United States, traumatic brain injury laws reflect a uniform but not scientifically proven consensus about return to play time, who makes the return to play decisions, and the best delivery method to distribute educational information. None of the laws targeted injury prevention. And the other post announced the release of an inter-association task force best practice recommendations for preventing sudden death in secondary school athletic programs. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study that found that combined vibration and wobble board training improves balance and stability among footballers suffering functional ankle instability compared with wobble board training alone. We also shared a press release for a study that found that frequent soccer ball heading may lead to brain changes. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.